and welcome to Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church Monday Manna Bible Study. And we are here and we are waiting for YOU.
Good morning. Yes, good evening. What did we say? Good morning?
Good evening.
That's right. This is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We've got Carter that's going to be with us tonight on Bible study, and we're certainly grateful for each of you. Let us know you're getting a clear signal, those of you who are joining. And so we welcome you from our streaming side as well as our app side, Facebook side, as well as streaming and the website. Is that right, Lady Kim?
That's correct.
And so I told Carter right before we came on that people all across the world are going to be watching. And so he's 5 years old now, but in a little while he'll be older, and he's going to be able to do this all by himself one day. Is that right, Carter? Yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. You got to look up at the camera, see?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. That's right. You can't look down there. You got to look up at the camera. But we praise God for each of you. We're in the fifth chapter of Songs of Solomon tonight, Song of Solomon. And our guide says that we only need to cover the first 8 verses, Lady Kim. Mm-hmm. There are only 16 verses in this particular chapter, the fifth chapter. But we know that if we stay true to course, we can do this just 8 verses. But if not, we can go and just clear the whole 16 verses tonight as we delve into this study. But before we do that, we're certainly grateful for each of you, and we praise God for him including us in his plan for this day. And we're certainly grateful for God sustaining us throughout the day and up until this point in our lives. So let's have prayer. You want to lead us in prayer tonight? You want to do the prayer? Yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You got to turn around that way. I'm going to tell you what to say. Say, dear God.
Dear God,
thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for our lives.
Thank you for our lives.
And thank you for another opportunity.
And thank you for another opportunity.
To study your word.
To study your word.
Now God.
Now God.
Bless each person.
Bless each person.
Who will see this message.
Who will see this message.
And be involved in this Bible study.
And be involved in this Bible study.
And that we might grow.
And that we might grow.
And give you all the praise.
And give you all the praise.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right.
Thank
you.
Great job.
Thank you. All right. Well, I tell you, this has been an exceptional weekend as the one before Lady Kim.
This is not the weekend.
Last?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. A couple of days ago, we're looking at Saturday. We're looking at yesterday was Sunday. And we're doing a review of what happened over the weekend. You're right, it's not the weekend. This is Monday. Is today Monday?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And so we can just do a little recap.
Tell them I lost my tooth.
You gotta turn around there and tell them. What do you want to tell?
I lost my tooth.
No, you gotta look up there. They can't see you. Go ahead.
I lost my tooth.
You lost it?
Yeah.
What happened?
I mean, I didn't lose it.
Okay.
I mean, I just...
It came out?
Yeah, it came out.
Okay. And so, how much did you get for... Did you put it under the pillow?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
And how much did you get?
10. But I want to
buy... What? 10?
10? 10 what? 10 cent?
$10?
Yeah, $10.
$10? Whatever happened to the quarter?
And you wanted... And how much did you want? You didn't want the $10? Look up there. You got to look up there. You didn't want the $10?
I did.
But you said you wanted 5.
I just.
Huh?
Wait, somebody calling me.
That's your phone? Okay, yeah. See, we live in here now. You got to make up your mind. You're going to be in here with us, or you're going in there where
that's
your phone
probably
is.
Probably my friend.
Okay. You getting phone calls now? What time do you stop getting your phone calls? Because you're just
know.
5 years old.
I don't know.
All right. Well, you want to go in there and answer your phone, or are you gonna stay in here? Because we're getting ready to go. People are already telling you hi. Tell us what you want to do now, because we don't have that long.
Answer my phone.
Okay. Tell everybody bye and tell them you love them. Go ahead.
Well, no. I want to stay here.
You're going to stay? You sure? Yeah. Okay, you can't be distraction now. Okay. All right. You know what a distraction is? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Tell us what a distraction is. You really don't know? Huh? You're wasting valuable time we on Bible study.
Oh.
You don't know? A distraction is when something interferes with what you're trying to accomplish and make you look at that instead of looking at what you're trying to do. Lady, I mean, Nana might have a better way of explaining that, but do you understand what Papa said?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good. All right.
I'm trying not to laugh.
See? It's funny. All right, it's going to be that kind of Bible study tonight, then. Okay. Was that funny? Huh? So when your teacher asks you, does anybody know what the word distraction means? Then you will know what it means. All right? All right, I'm going to do this, and then we're going to get ready to go into our study. Tell us what you learned in school today. You got to speak loud. You were telling me about it earlier. But tell the people out there what you learned. See all those people on there? Tell the people about what you learned in school today. Look up at the camera up there. Up there. Yeah. Look this way. Hold your head. There you go. Tell the people what you learned. There you go. There you go. Just one thing you learned today.
I learned my sight words.
Your sight words?
Mm-hmm, that's all.
That's all? Nana, give him a sight word and see. I'm putting that on the spot.
No, you have to write a sight word. Okay, I'll write this sight word, and then you tell me what it is.
What happened to that one?
That's a new one.
Can.
That's right. That's good.
So a sight word, tell us, Nana, what a sight word is.
Sight word are words that we see every day or use most frequently.
Okay.
Like see, can, run, eye, yeah. The, a. Yeah, okay. Those kind of words.
Okay. All right.
That you see most frequently in reading.
That was all right. Great, Carter.
Wonderful job. Great. All right.
You're going to go in there, and then we'll call you back when we get ready to close out, or you're going to stay right here?
I'm staying right here.
You sure? All right. No distraction now, right? Yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we praise God for little Carter. He's growing right on up, and he's going to be a fine young man. And he's going to be a very smart young man. And we know that God's going to use him in a powerful and a mighty way. And so we praise God for his presence today. And for each of you who are viewing on various platforms. Lady Kim, as I was saying, this past weekend, we had a great time, including the worship experience on Sunday. And then Saturday was a phenomenal day with the closeout of the workshop for stewardship. And I think part of your challenge, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, was to have people to be stewards of their time. And what happened in, as it relates to our leaders being stewards of their time is that they were engaged in our prayer drive-through as well as our pray and go. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about what happened.
We had a wonderful, wonderful turnout on Saturday from the leaders as they canvassed the neighborhood. They stopped, they prayed for people, they hung door hangers on doors, left information about the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that people stopped them on the street and asked for prayer, and they prayed for them. And then we had a phenomenal turnout with the number of cars that came through the prayer drive-thru. People stopping, wanting prayer. People are hurting.
That's right.
In this world, in this country, in this state, and in this city, they are hurting. And so they stopped by. They dared to stop to ask for a moment of prayer. And we believe that God not only hears prayers, but He answers prayers.
That's right. That's right. And so it was an amazing Saturday. And then we went right into our worship experience on Sunday, and our very own pastor of Congregational Care, Dr. Carolyn Butler, stood tall on yesterday, and she preached a powerful word. And from a very familiar passage of scripture that all of us know, we've learned it as we were growing up, but she looked at the 23rd Psalm and talked about no fear zone, no fear zone. When you hear that title, what came to your mind when you first heard the title, no fear zone?
That whatever you face in life, you don't need to be afraid.
Okay, you don't need to be afraid.
Yes.
And you know, even as I was thinking about it, we have to dismiss the fears of our lives. And she made reference to how many times we have these insecurities, and they hover, or they reside in our fear. And we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And that 23rd Psalm really just releases us from being afraid of what the future might bring, or what we might be currently going through, or even the issues we might be facing. Because one of the things I've come to understand on this journey, that when we look back over our lives and we see just how God has brought us and how He's delivered, then we have no reason to fear about what He's going to do for us in our current situation and in the future.
That's right.
And so all we need to do is, I made reference to it oftentimes about having a faith file, having a faith file where we can go back and look at all of those things. It's almost like, you know, you have your file in your house and you have your folders and everything, but you can go back in this faith file and you can see how good God has been and how God has brought you and how God has blessed. And that gives us the assurance and the confidence when we're faced with current situations, and when we're facing some situations that we don't really particularly know the outcome of. Would you agree with me on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely, that's right. And so she focused on the first six verses, and she had some key points, and you mentioned something from one of the first points that she had. Her first point was to know who you are in Christ.
Okay.
And then, you know, it talked about we have to go beyond what we feel and trust God. And that's what you were saying, that we have to trust God in all of our circumstances. And we can trust God because we can pull from the faith files that we have. God has done it before, and He can do it again.
He can do it again.
No matter what we face in life, God knows the end from the beginning.
Wow.
And because He knows the end from the beginning, we can rest assured that He's going to work it out in the end. And sometimes we want it worked out in a certain way, but we ought to say, any way you bless me, Lord,
anyway,
I'll be satisfied. Any way you bring me through this situation, I'll be all right.
And you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about what Paul shared in Philippians, that first chapter, in around verse 6. He says, He who has begun a good work in you is well able to bring it to a flourishing finish. And so we have to be mindful of that. And many times we get caught up, I think, when we're going through different situations in our lives. We look more at our circumstances than we do at God, who's able to deliver us from our circumstances. And so that's a word of encouragement for somebody tonight. Because you need to reside and you need to anchor down in that no fear zone, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. We've got to know who and whose we are. We've got to trust the timing of God in our situations and in our circumstances. We've got to draw from that faith file and be assured that whatever it is we're going through, that God's got us and that God will see us through.
And that second point she said is resolve to know God intimately and trust Him. And again, that's where that trust factor comes in there, you know. And we need to, on this journey, to continuously move, you know.
Right.
She was talking about on a journey, you know, a journey is not just a one and done. It's our life is a journey, and we need to continue to move through this life, and we can't stand still.
Mm-hmm.
We have to continue to move through. And then she said that we need to reload and rejoice.
Okay.
That there's a relational dynamic, that the Lord is our shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that when she talked about that there's a relational dynamic, because the very first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd,
mm-hmm.
I shall not want." And so because we know the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want, it shows that relational dynamic that the Lord is leading us, that he's always leading us. We shall not want means that we lack nothing.
That's right.
And that God provides everything. And I have a feeling that everything is going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then she went on to talk about how the passage talks about how he leads us beside the still water that Jesus provides and puts us in situations. But he leads us beside that still water.
That's right.
And how he restores our souls. We are image bearers of God, and we look like him, and we have to follow him so he can use us.
That's really good. That's right. That was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I just applaud Dr. Butler for her steadfastness and her diligence in terms of thoroughly digesting and digging into that scripture and pulling out some nuggets that will help us all. And, you know, Lady Kim, we are extremely blessed at ATOP with preachers, leaders, teachers, volunteers. And even as we went out yesterday on our Meals from the Heart that we do every fourth Sunday, it's just amazing how people rally and they step up and how they give to a need. And then when we go out and see the people being blessed by the efforts of the people at ATOP, it just brings joy. And I just believe that God is pleased with that, because part of our mission is not just to take care of those who are in the house, but we have to go outside the house and meet needs as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of our outreach effort. And as a result, you know, like you said, we had a tremendous outpouring on Saturday of people coming for prayer, us engaging people in the community, the Autumn Ridge community across from the church. And then the Lord added to the church on Sunday.
Yes, he did. That was the most exciting
That's
part.
Right. Isn't that something?
You know, we get excited about everything, you know, but when people come and give their lives to Christ, that's a time that we need to really rejoice.
That's right.
And be glad.
That's right. And we ought not get so preoccupied with ourselves until we can't rejoice with those who are coming in out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And many times people are coming from various issues that they have gone through, and they resonate with the Spirit of God in the house. And didn't take long for people to get up, and people were coming for prayer, and I was just praising God for that tremendous outpouring of his Spirit in the house on yesterday. And the Lord added to the church.
Yes.
The Bible says daily, such as should be saved.
That's his word.
All right. Well, we're getting ready to jump into this fifth chapter. How you doing, Brother Carter? You going to be all right? You going to stay with us, or you want to go in there and look at your phone?
I'm tired.
Okay. You want to go in and lay down on the couch? Huh? Oh, you want to sit in that chair over there. And then when we get up, when we finish, you can come back and sit with us. How about that? Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm gonna fix you some popcorn when I get through. How about that?
He's already eating his dinner.
Oh, you've already had your dinner?
I have chicken nuggets.
He has some more chicken nuggets.
Oh, you had some nuggets. You don't want none of Papa's special popcorn?
I do.
Yes,
okay.
He does.
All right, I'm gonna put some. I cook mine on top of the stove. That microwave thing don't work for me, and so we do the real deal. Huh? I have to do it like that, man. I'm going to have to show you that recipe so that you can be able to do it, you know, one day for yourself, okay? All right? I think that was cousin calling you. You want to go in there with her? Okay. All right. Well, we're going to jump into this fifth chapter. And Lady Kim, you're saying we need to just focus on the order, or you want us to go ahead and cover the whole?
However the time allows us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and let's talk about it and then see where we are. We're in the fifth chapter of Song of Solomon. One of the headings here says this is a disturbing dream. Mm-hmm. And we know that this is a continuation of a love story between Solomon and this Shunammite woman as they are making their way to really capture their
love and affection.
Love and affection and emotions for each other. Mm-hmm. In that fourth chapter, we had quite a few demonstrations or expressions of how Solomon looked upon his bride, and how he really went into great detail describing her outward appearance and appreciating her beauty. And I can imagine she probably was about as beautiful as you, Reverend.
Isn't that sweet?
So she might, you think she was that beautiful?
I hope so.
All right. Well, Solomon, he really had put his sights on her, and he could have chosen anyone that he wanted.
Yeah.
But there was something about this Shunammite woman.
And you know, it's strange that she remained unnamed. Well, they called her the Shunammite woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That they didn't say her name was Karen or Kim or,
right,
you know,
or Deborah or what,
yeah,
whatever.
Right. She's named as the Shunammite woman.
And that might have had a lot to do with showing the distinction between the culture of that day. And the Shunammites would be considered Gentiles. Is that right?
I need to look
that up. Yeah, we need to look that up because Solomon was a part of the Jews. And so we have to really digest that to see, because I think that's where the distinction was made, to show that there was definitely a connection there, and how God was already at work even before Paul introduced the whole crossover, in terms of not the gospel not just being extended to the Jews, but that he had made sure that it would be for everyone who believed. And that's where John 3:16 really comes into existence, when it says that for God so loved the world, no exclusion, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that gives you the gamut of his expression of his love, whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
What did you find? Did you find anything?
Well, not enough yet. It says the Shulamite or Shulamite is a person from Shulam.
Mm-hmm.
The Hebrew Bible identifies a Shulamite as a swarthy female protagonist in the Song of Solomon. In the King James Version and in the Bible, it's called the Song of Solomon or the Canonicals or the Canticles of Canticles.
Okay. Why don't you type in, was a Shunammite woman a Gentile? Maybe that might kind of open that up a little bit. But even as Lady Kim is doing that, we're in the fifth chapter, Song of Solomon. And as she's turned to that, we want to just kind of set the stage for this. We're to cover the first 8 verses. There are only 16 verses, and we'll see how the flow goes tonight as we prepare to get into this study. But the Song of Solomon, really, it overflows with heart-describing passion and a passionate relationship between two people who deeply love each other. That's the whole expression of what this book is all about. And I think it even crosses over and gives us some handles in terms of how we can apply that as it relates to how God loves us, because we can learn something from this particular book as well as it relates to people in general and how we ought to treat people, and then how we ought to overcome our problems and how we should be involved with a heart, not just a head mentality. I think several weeks ago, Dr. Holmes talked about the longest distance for a person to travel or something. I'm paraphrasing it, is from the head to the heart. And so we have to make sure that that is central in terms of what we feel in our heart is really connected with what we're thinking in our head.
This is interesting about the Shulamite woman. It says she was a Gentile enemy slave girl. So she was an outsider.
Yeah.
Outside of a covenant relationship with God.
Isn't that something? And so, go ahead.
So he fell in love with an outsider. But he wasn't ashamed to let people know that this was the love of his life.
Right. And God set in motion what we were saying earlier. What Paul really allowed to come to pass when, because the Jews thought that they were the only ones and that they were the chosen people. But even back during this particular time in the culture, God was moving and setting in motion what came to pass, even with Paul explaining that, that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor free, we're all one in the sight of God, and how God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe. So it breaks down all of those barriers, and God was setting this in motion then, as we look at how Solomon responded to this foreigner or slave girl. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else interesting there that we need to share, because we're getting ready to jump into this fifth chapter, and let's go ahead and read those first eight verses and see what God is saying to us in this fifth chapter. One of the headings now is talking about a disturbing dream, a disturbing dream.
Okay. We are in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love. My dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole in the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love.
She said, I'm lovesick. Sick of love. That's lovesick, right?
Yes.
And so therein lies what some people say was a disturbing dream.
Yes.
And that the Shulamite woman was really trying to reconnect. She had some troubles as she was trying to fully define their relationship and her longing to be with Solomon. And this is perhaps a dream What did you find out from your research? Did you have anything interesting there?
Well, I looked at a couple of different commentaries, and I found this one interesting from the relevant Bible teaching. And it says, Solomon speaks of having consummated the marriage and having entered the garden. And he says, in keeping with his earlier analogies and symbolism, that he enjoys the garden.
Uh-huh.
This is likely God speaking here, giving his blessing and approval to what they are doing. He tells them to indulge of the goodness and wonders of his idea of sexual intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
The word for friends should be better translated companions. The word literally, the word imbibe literally means drunk. God wants us to be overwhelmed and carried away with love, letting go, loving, and enjoying his idea of sexual intimacy in marriage. We are to be consumed with pleasure, intimacy, love, and affection. The sights and the fragrant smells, the garments, the jewelry, and the romance all lead to a healthy and normal experience of intimacy in marriage.
Okay. What was that last part? Read that again. The joy and the what? The latter part where you read at the end.
God wants us to be overwhelmed and carried away with love, mm-hmm. letting go, loving, and enjoying his idea of intimacy. We are to be consumed with pleasure, love, intimacy, and affection. I don't see where that was about joy.
Oh, okay.
I know I read it somewhere up there.
Mm-hmm. But that's powerful there. And as we indicated earlier, how the Song of Solomon really overflows with heart describing a passionate relationship between two people. And I think what we can really learn from that, Lady Kim, is that, as we were saying a few minutes ago, we have to make sure that our heart is connected with our head. Because many times when we feel something in our heart, if we don't have the right connection with our head, then our mind can tell us to do something that our heart is really not wanting us to do.
Okay.
And so we can get caught up in that. But here we see how God expressed his love toward us, and how Solomon and the Shulamite woman was a primary example of what it means to allow your heart to lead and then have your head to be connected with that.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then it says, too, that God is very realistic in the scriptures.
Okay.
Highlighting the good and the bad of people. Not long after the consummation of the marriage, and perhaps even the same night, the conflict occurs. This is when we're talking about the dream.
Right.
Soon into their marriage, perhaps even their first night together, she has a dream. She says that she was sleeping, but her heart was awakened. So she was probably in a very deep sleep. She hears a voice, and she awakens by a knock on the door. And for whatever reason, Solomon had to leave the bedroom and go outside. He was drenched with dew and wanted to be let back in. She hears him knocking and recognizes the voice of her beloved. She says to him that she would need to get dressed in proper attire to come out to him. And she says that she doesn't want to dirty her feet again since she has already washed them. In other words, she makes it sound like she's going to leave him out in the damp, cold night. This could easily offend Solomon. For one would think that she would at least go through the minor inconvenience so that he can come inside and be with her, let alone get out of the damp night.
Okay, all right. That's a mouthful of that.
Yes.
And so
they're describing that dream and him being locked outside of the house and not being able to come in.
Right, right. And so that's part of the whole pattern that's taking place here in the first part of this particular, these first eight verses. And I think that commentary really kind of breaks it down because, as our other study says, the man responds to the woman's invitation to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to respond to the invitation that God extends to us to come to him where the word says, whosoever will let him or her come, and I will in no wise cast out. And many times we hear God's voice or we hear him knocking, but we don't respond. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yes.
I think when we respond, that's when we see God's ultimate expression of love toward us and how he blesses us as a result of our obedience. Because once we align ourselves with the will of God, and that was part of what Dr. Butler was talking about yesterday as well, we'll see how God will continually order our steps and lead us down the path in which he would have us to go on this journey.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I like the way, you know, that imagery is set up that we, that Solomon could very well be how we leave God on the outside,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. and how God is knocking at our heart's door.
Okay.
And all we need to do is open the door and let him in. And we leave him standing out, drenched in the dew, standing out in the cold as we go about whatever we feel like doing instead of opening our heart and accepting God and letting him come in. And he loves us unconditionally.
That's right. That's
so
right.
He's standing there patiently waiting for us to open the doors and let him in.
Okay. All right. Any comments there? Any expressions that anyone has shared?
Not tonight.
Okay. Is that Sister Valerie Rankin on? Good to see you on tonight. And all of you who are viewing on either platform, whether it's the streaming side or whether it's Facebook Live. And I think the streaming side connects with our web page as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
The app and the web page all connects for the streaming. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Well, okay. That's the first 8 verses that they do want to share? Because I think all of the descriptions were covered there in terms of explaining what was actually happening here. Because one of the things we see, Lady Kim, and it shares with us in the notes, we see this woman's thoughts concerning her shepherd's love and how she is trying to fulfill everything that she needs to do in order to make this relationship, the consummation, continue to happen. And she's seeking and finding, and how many times, even with us, as we just talked about, we have to, when God knocks on our heart's door, then he expects a response. But he's not going to pressure us to get up and open the door. But in our obedience to his voice and hearing his voice, then there are blessings in store for us because we dare to be obedient to what God would have for us to do. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, all right. Any other comments you want to share there?
No, not right now.
Okay. Why you didn't give me a copy of that? I used to give you a copy of everything I have, right?
You can have a copy.
No, I'm talking about I usually get it. Yeah, should get it before.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Sure.
All right. You trying to be nice because the people looking at you.
I'm always nice.
Are you?
I am.
All right. I agree. 100. 100. All right. Let's go ahead and read the last 8 verses then of this 5th chapter. And then we're gonna see how nice you're going to be before we close out this study together.
Okay. We're at verse number 9. Verses 9 through 16, Song of Solomon, chapter 5. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou doest thus so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are the eyes of doves by the rivers of water washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and he is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Wow. So part of what we see here, Lady Kim, and it's very descriptive, that the Shulamite woman is really exchanging her passion as Solomon did toward her in terms of describing how much she appreciates his outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we were trying to really make sure we get a handle on is that it's not so much what happens outwardly as it is what happens inwardly. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on our hearts. And so we have to make sure that our hearts are in tune with what we're thinking so that we can receive the fullness of what God has for us and the abundance that he has in store.
Amen.
And so she really lays it out here in terms of how talking about his hair, his head, his eyes, mm-hmm. his abs. She's talking about how he's carved and how he's built, his cheeks, his lips, and all of that is being described here in this particular mm-hmm. latter few verses. Would you agree with me
yes.
on that?
Uh-huh.
That's the information that you're going to share that you didn't give me right there.
It says she immediately starts by describing his physical features.
Mm-hmm.
She's enraptured by his dazzling looks, his ruddy complexion, like his father David, you know, in 1 Samuel 16 and 12.
Okay.
She says that he is outstanding, even if he was to be compared with 10,000 other men. Clearly, Solomon is most attractive and desirable to her.
Okay.
So, like you said, just as she is desirable to him,
mm-hmm.
he's also desirable to her.
Okay. And so, you know, when we were talking about how she was described earlier, it seems as if there can be conversation leaning toward the complexion as well as the hair, that is a possibility that they were black. What do you think about that?
There could be, it's a possibility. I think they said that she was dark because she was stayed out in the sun working as a slave.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a possibility that's something else we could look up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Whether she was black.
And most of what we have come to know about the Bible has been crafted based upon what other cultures have defined in terms of what they see in themselves and mm-hmm. not in the other race.
Amen.
You follow me?
Amen.
And so that's where we get all of these depictions of a white Jesus and all of the other narratives that we see in terms of what the people in the Bible look like. But I think it was Cain Hope Felder who came out with the Black Bible. And it might not be called that, it was probably the African-American Bible, and how he goes through and describes all of those cultures in the Bible, and how it was overwhelmingly black people
yes.
who were really some of the main characters that we see throughout the Bible. And my brother up in Indianapolis, he teaches a class with the elders that he works with there on the African-American presence in the Bible.
Yes.
And I think we did that once with Sister Nichols.
We did,
yes. Was it Sister Nichols?
Yes, it was, the mm-hmm. African-American presence in the Bible. And one of the things that's a clear indication is when you see a setting in Egypt.
Right,
you know,
right.
It talks about how Moses, you know, who's in Egypt? You
right.
know, African-American people are in Egypt. So I don't want to, you know,
get too far deep into that.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I don't have all my facts mm-hmm. right, but I would, you know, mm-hmm. like to talk about that one day, about the African-American presence in the Bible.
Yeah,
because we're certainly there. And this Shulamite woman may very well, she was a slave, but they enslaved all kind of people back then.
That's right.
She was enslaved, but her skin was dark because she was out in the sun, working in the sun.
Right. And, you know, if you are of African-American persuasion, your skin will get darker than it would be. And I don't really know that as a fact, but I'm just kind of...
You can get a tan. Black people can get a tan.
That's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. It'll get darker for uh-huh. some black people than it would be for, what do they call them, clear people?
Caucasian.
Yeah. Somebody said clear. Who was that? I don't know who it was, but we got to put that out there. But no, I'm just talking. You follow me?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So if we stayed out in the sun, and, you know, even when we went on vacation, we noticed how others were trying to really almost bake, and we didn't have to stay out there but a few minutes, and our whole complexion
had changed
mm-hmm. you know? So, but that's neither here nor there. We're going down a rabbit hole. Any comments there? Anybody want to share? Okay. So, how then would we, this is the fifth chapter of Song of Solomon as we are sharing tonight. Lady Kim is keep moving over closer to me. I'm trying to figure out what that's all about, but we...
You don't want me close to you?
No, I was trying. I thought you was getting ready to kiss me or something.
Oh, Lord. Not on camera.
All right, all right. Don't do it. Don't do it. Why are you kicking me up under the table? No, what is that? Keep your hands up on the table. There you go.
I need to keep my hands still.
Keep your hands up.
All right.
Now, we're getting ready to close this out, but we praise God for each of you tonight. And as we conclude this fifth chapter, we see that this is really an expressive chapter, and the dream is coming to pass, and how the Shulamite woman is really being appreciative for the appearance of Solomon, and how she goes into great detail here in these latter few verses, sharing how much she appreciates and how much she adores his presence and his attributes and his all of that. Would mm-hmm. you agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So, go ahead.
I was just saying that, you know, that again, it just, like you said, she just describes her feelings mm-hmm. of the appearance of her husband and describes her feelings for him.
Okay.
So.
All right. And so, this pretty much brings us to a close of this fifth chapter. And even though we're closing out a little early tonight, well, we're pretty much on time. Are there any prayer requests or any things that we need to be aware of as we prepare to close out with prayer tonight? And if so, we want you to go ahead and put those in the... in the box there for the comments. Sister Gwen.
We want to lift up Sister Connie Booker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She is recovering from surgery, and so we most definitely want to keep her lifted up in our prayers.
Okay. Anyone else maybe have a prayer request or something you want to share tonight that we need to be aware of? Go ahead and put that into the box there in the comments. So that as we prepare to close out tonight, we will make sure we mention that in our prayers. All right. Here comes our superstar, Brother Carter. He's making his way back to the set. Lady Kim, what's going on this weekend? Y'all getting ready to go on the trip, right?
Yes, our women's ministry. Lift them up in prayer as we travel to Hot Springs, Arkansas for our women's ministry retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to having a great time.
Okay, okay. And that'll be Friday, right? Y'all leaving Friday?
Yes.
And then
we're returning on Sunday.
And what do we have this Sunday? The trunk or treat?
Trunk or treat this Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m.
Yeah.
Yes, we don't believe in Halloween. We do believe in Hallelujah.
All right.
So we will be there, you know, with our Christian themed decorations on our cars, and as the children move from car to car, you know, we will distribute candy. So we will have trunk or treat on Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m. And if anyone would like to decorate their car, just join us for trunk or treat.
We'll do the trunk or treat.
You're gonna be there.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have a big bag because I believe
last year we had a huge turnout, and I was wondering why it was such a big turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that Halloween was on that day.
Right.
Yeah, so I think we had a big turnout because it was actually Halloween, and we were doing Hallelujah Trunk or Treat. So,
and Halloween this year is on a Monday.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And part of that has to do with us not buying into the whole Halloween experience, but giving our kids a safe environment where they can go ahead and receive some candy and understand that it's not about what you might call witches and all of that.
Yes.
But it's about Christ, and we magnify Him, and we want to make sure that our kids are safe and that they can experience some of the same things that we grew up experiencing without getting out there and being in endangered environment where they don't know the people or they don't know what might be in the candy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so we want to just make sure that they have that experience. And we did used to have like a carnival inside, and we used to have the bouncers and all of that, so people can just be in a safe environment. We had it
pre-COVID,
yeah, so about three or four years ago,
but now we do the trunk or treat outside. So.
right
So we're gonna do trunk or treat
outside, that's right. And so we're looking forward to that, and it's still not too late for you to bring individually bags of wrapped candy, and you can drop them off at the church. And also, early voting is still in progress, and we want to make sure that you participate and be a part of the early voting that's happening at the church from 11 to 7 Monday through Friday. And then this Saturday it will be from 8 to 4.
Is Saturday the last day?
Saturday is the... No, it goes all the way through the
November 3rd.
Yes.
Yes.
Now this
and
one
I do have some information, too, that if you want to see who is on the ballot, you can go to web.go-vote-tennessee.elections.tn.gov. And you can see the whole state, because I kept saying, you know, usually they send the list of flyers with people but you have to kind of figure out what district you're in and who's on the ballot. So if you go to that Tennessee elections, TN.gov, then you can pull up your all the people who are running for the different offices and see who they are.
TennesseeElections.gov?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and type that in there, Lady Kim. But I believe most people probably got that. That's kind of easy to remember, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of long now. It's kind of long. It's a web. And I don't type the fastest.
So, Carter, look at the camera right there. Anything you want to say before we close out tonight?
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
I want to say...
You gotta talk up. Hmm? You don't know?
I forgot.
You forgot? Did you have, do you have a lunch bag, a lunch box that you take to school with you?
Yes.
Okay. Sir. All right. Okay. Any other requests come through, Lady Kim?
No.
Okay.
Not that I can see.
Well, let's go ahead and close out with prayer tonight as we end
I'm
this time.
I'm doing prayer.
We're going to let Nana close us out. You want to do the prayer? You do? Okay. You going to lead him through the prayer, Nana?
I'm trying to, Theron wants to put it in on the link in, so I was trying to send her the link.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
All right.
You want to pray? All right, let's go to God in prayer. Say, God, we thank you.
God, we thank you.
For this time.
For this time.
That we've had together.
That we had together.
To study and discuss.
To study and discuss.
Your word.
Your word.
Help it to be.
Help it to be.
A light unto our feet.
A light unto our feet.
And a lamp unto our path.
And a lamp unto our
path.
Path.
We thank you.
We thank you.
For everything.
For everything.
You've done.
You've done.
Bless the sick.
Bless the sick.
Bless the bereaved.
Bless.
Bereaved.
The bereaved.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask.
And we ask.
That you keep us safe.
That you keep us safe.
Until we meet again.
Until we meet again.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Carter. Thank you for being so, that's right. Tell the people bye.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.
Bye. Thank you for joining us, everybody.
Y'all be blessed. Until next time, sixth chapter next week. Be blessed. Bye-bye.